throughout the nation and around the globe. From his heart to yours, it's Dear James Live, bringing you intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions.
Hello, beautiful soul family, and welcome to Weekly Wisdom and Insights, your home for spiritually guided transformation and empowerment. I am your host, Dear James, and together with the Unseen, Spirit Source, and Symphony, we look at the current energies, the current themes, and the divine wisdom, and we go as guided. And we are in the month of May, and there is so much cosmic activity going on, as above, so below. And this is on the heels of all of the cosmic activity from April. And we've discussed this, that, you know, April and May, I mean, just action-packed moments of change. And so let's jump into this, and we're going to do a little bit of a rewind. Welcome, Olivia. And as you're joining from around the globe, put a shout out in the comments. Let us know you're there. And remember that we incorporate your comments and questions live throughout the broadcast. So let's just quickly look at a recap. We're going to take a little quick recap of what the main themes have been in the last 4 weeks. The first one, the pendulum swing. Hark the herald angels sing. And this whole sense of newness and all this golden light and the, you know, the iridescence of it, the magic of it, the magic, awe, and wonder. And then we proceed into a direct calling from God. What happens in the here and now? And this kind of harks back to the song that we had from Billie Eilish about what was I made for? And that there's an intent here. There is an ending and a beginning. There's a very clear ending and beginning. And so this is about what happens after that ending. Then we move into next level boom. What has been hoped for? Welcome, Ava. Welcome, Alicia. And this whole, and you see, here's the phoenix rising in the, so we have the cosmos with the gold globes and everything, the planets, but we have these solar flares, and there's tremendous amount of solar flares going on that are emitting from the sun. And whether we're at solar maximum, the sun has a cycle, it's every 9 to 13 years. And at the peak in the middle of that cycle, all of these solar flares are emitted. And so there are tremendous amounts of solar flares hitting at this point directed towards Earth. They're not always directed towards Earth, but in this moment they are. And they're creating all of these cosmic, you know, the aurora borealis, the lights. They were as far south as like Alabama and in the U.S. and everything. So way far south. So we have this next level boom with these cosmic solar flares. And then we come to our main theme this week, which is over the hump, everything new emerges. And in the image, you see this individual with their arms up outstretched to the heavens, in a sense, to the skies, the heavens, standing on this pinnacle, this peak. And the moral of the story is with this image, and then you kind of see the, you know, the beauty of the clouds and this star like bursting forth towards this individual. And what the unseen is saying to us is that, and there was something about May 15th, the 15th of May, and that we're over the hump. We have spent a lifetimes journeying up this mountain, climbing, slogging away. You know, lifetime after lifetime, and moment after moment within this lifetime, striving for the ideal, striving for the return, striving. And all of a sudden they're saying, at this moment, the unseen is saying, you're over the hump, you've reached the pinnacle. And with that, and then they said, everything new emerges. And so it's really from this point on that we will experience the new. Because what's behind us? The past. And we only have, you know, the irony of it is, we only have the past as a way and means to experience, to formulate perceptions and opinions, and then we put on the masks and labels and the identities based on those experiences. Some we want to repeat, some we want to hold in time. Others we never want to repeat. But it's the past. And here they're saying, yes, however, you've come all the way up the mountain. You've done the works. And you've done the hard work. And now it's a pinnacle moment. It's a transitional moment. And it's everything new emerges. And so you're going to begin to see in our individual and collective lives, you're going to be able to see everything new emerging. Like, how do we change? How does our environment change? How do our relationships change? How do our lives change? And they said, the first thing the unseen said was, having crested the mountain, the climb, a new, and they underlined, a new journey begins. And it has to do with rewards. Remember that one of the Sabian symbols was reward to the faithful. So this is having crested the mountain, the climb, a new, and they underlined it, had me underline it, new journey begins. The emphasis is on the new. And crest means to reach the top or extreme point of something, usually a mountain or a hill. And synonyms for crest is crown, peak, summit, tip top. So it's like we've exhausted the old. It's the unseen is saying to me in this moment, like, it's like they're showing me wringing out a squeegee, you know, like a cloth that you use to dry your car with after it's been washed, a chamois, that's the word I was looking for. And they're wringing it out. And they're basically saying, we have exhausted the past. And they're wringing out the chamois. And then they say, and so now, just bring it back up again, main theme, here's the image. Now that we're over the hump, we've everything new emerges. And it is about the new. The new is unknown. The new is yet to be experienced. And how that will impact our individual lives. Ava's saying, oh, thank you. This is so wonderful to hear. Yes, because, and remember, you know, Carrie Underwood, Jesus Take the Wheel, the song, you know, it's keep our hands off the wheel or lightly, hold things lightly. Because again, the emphasis on the message is about the advance. It's about the new. It is about having crested the mountain and the climb, a new journey begins. And it's a journey of rewards. So that's, and this is very interesting with the numbers. Let's go to the main energies because you'll see, and you're going to see with the two charts, we're going to play this all together. But here's the numbers for today, the main energies. It's the number 5, it's May, so it's nourished while waiting, patience. So we've been patiently awaiting and patiently aligning and patiently culminating and shedding and splitting apart. We've been actively, patiently being nourished while we wait because we're doing the works. Now today is the 15th, so it's a 15. And authenticity, balance. Again, imagine standing on the peak of that mountain to see what's on the other side. Well, it takes great depth, great courage, great perseverance, but also great authenticity. Another word for this hexagram is great humility. So authenticity, humility, which creates great balance. There's a sense of knowing. There's a sense of being one with the peak of the mountain. I have climbed. This is all of you speaking in your head. I have climbed this mountain and I am ready. I am willing, I am deserving of this new. Everything new emerges. It's an 8-year, so it's all about uniting our parts. Now here's the interesting piece. Normally there's only 5 numbers in each weekly Wisdom and Insights, but this week there's 6 because the 5, the 15, and the 8 become a 19. Which is approach, advance. So we're approaching the new. We're at the advance point. We're ready to receive all of these things. And look at that. Beginnings and endings, 1 and 9. It's a cycle. And thereby the 1 and 9 becomes a 10. 10 is new beginnings. Everything new emerges. And 10 is treading, cautious advance. I mean, again, imagine you're at the top of the mountain. You don't just go running over the other side. You take it all in. You have a moment where you you appreciate where you are. And you give yourselves a pat on the back. Job well done. Because spiritual work, soul work, is hard work, meaning it's not the norm. The world goes about living ego mind personality from their ego mind personality. You're treading, you're climbing, and you're advancing from the place of saying, yes, and let me now rewrite the script. Let me put my soul source connection. Let me put my soul first. Let me put source first and align my ego mind personality in service to it. So it's an inverse, but yet that is exactly what the divine feminine is. It's all about leading with the soul, leading with our intuition, with our soul source connection, our true north, and aligning everything with it. It's the beautiful saying, do the right thing for the right reasons and the rest will come. When you do the right things for the right reasons, you're in alignment with spirit, with soul, with true north. And then the one and the zero become a one, the creative, initiate. It is the actionary divine masculine, the ego mind personality. It's the purity of it. And it's the action that takes all of this and utilizes it and harnesses it in a proper manner. So, and there's six of them here. So there's a peak between the 8 and the 19. There's a peak. There's a peak point. So now let's look at the astrological wheels, because there are two things that are occurring. Let me just go to the astrological influences really quickly. And our theme with the astrological influences, triple platinum yao. This is what the unseen, they're like, and you'll see why here in a second. Triple platinum yao. Like yao meaning excitement and joy. So the first thing is, when if you see on the screen, it's 5/13/24. So on Monday of this week, the Sun and Uranus, they had their Kazemi, they were conjunct. So Uranus was in the heart of the heart of the Sun at 23 degrees Taurus. Then you move further down and you see on the 18th, so coming up on Saturday, the same thing will happen with Jupiter. So Jupiter will be in the heart of the Sun, they're conjunct at 28 degrees Taurus. So we have, and remember, when planets are Kazemi, when they're in the heart of the Sun, it burns away. It's like baptism by fire. It's the phoenix rising, and it burns away all of the past. It renews them. It revitalizes them. So this is exactly what's happening with us. All of this old goo and the past and all of these things are being burned away. On the 13th, it's Uranus. I mean, it is the higher mind. And it is the planet of expect the unexpected. And then on the 18th, it's Jupiter, the great benefactor. And then finally, the third, the triple platinum, is Mars. So that creative force on the 19th, on Sunday, Mars is conjunct the North Node. The North Node is the point, it's a node of the moon where it's, where is humanity headed? Where are we going? And so here's the creative force aligned with the North Node. So we've burned away what's happening with Uranus. We're burning away what's going on with Jupiter. And you'll see how these are playing out in the Sabian symbols as well, how they affirm it. Just want to go to, so keep these in mind, triple platinum yao. Here's the chart, the astrological chart for the Uranus Sun Kazemi. And you'll see, and I'm going to put them up side by side in a second, and you'll see how there's like the blue lines within the inner circle is saying to it, it's like it's bursting forth. It wants to open up. We want to advance. We want a whole new world, a whole new way of being. We want the old, the shadow. And this is both, again, remember, personal, professional, institutions, businesses, governments, people, and then the whole of the whole, world events. We're wanting to break through. We're wanting to release the past. And then here's the Kazemi, the Sun-Jupiter Kazemi chart. And you notice that again in the inner circle, we have this beautiful kite-like triangle where it's just like, boom, it's just full, opened. So look at the first one. It's pushing, it's working its way, trying to move outward to advance. And what I would say is it's burgeoning, it's happening. And then we get to the Sun-Jupiter Kazemi, and it's boom, the 10 opens up, and it's a direct point. So let me just bring these up really quickly, and I'm going to show you them side by side and share my screen with you for a moment. And here you are. Here you see them side by side. So on Monday, it's pushing the energies. It's really arcing up, wanting to push the to open the energies. And then by Saturday, coming up, exactly, Olivia is saying it looks like a boat sail. Exactly. It's this. It's a pyramid, it's a kite. And so we have these beautiful energies opening up, endings and beginnings, because there's a lot of degrees. The astrological planetary degrees are sitting where the 30th degree is prevalent. It ends something, and then we begin something. And so let's move into the retread. Sorry, the energies for me are very like, yes, yes, yes. So we're going to take walk down memory lane is what I'm trying to say. And we're going to do so from the place of looking at the May astrology. And this is from Patty Campson at astrology.com. And she says, astrological adventures, surprising turns in May. A cosmic dance of change and innovation. Hold on tight, because May is bringing a roller coaster of cosmic activity, thanks to some outer planets stirring the celestial pot. Pluto and Uranus, those distant giants associated with transformation and revolution, are especially active, setting the stage for a month that's anything but ordinary. Pluto's deep dives and Uranus's flashes of insight mean we're in for some real game-changing moments. Expect these planetary power players to deliver eye-opening revelations and opportunities for significant change. See, this isn't just ho-hum, everyday. I mean, these are mega solar flares. We're just at, perhaps, you know, are we at solar maximum of these solar flares, of the Earth's 9, 11, or 13-year cycle, because it varies. And this time, they're directed directly at Earth. So it's this whole thing about significant change. As they make planetary connections, they'll be shaking up, and remember that, they're shaking the cosmic tree. They'll be shaking up our collective experience and possibly redefining some norms along the way. It's the perfect time to embrace the unexpected and harness the innovative energy they bring. This is all about embracing the new, embracing change, embody it, hold loosely to the wheel, go as guided. Don't get stuck. Don't stay in a rut. Don't say, to a degree, with discernment, to a degree, say yes. When it makes sense, say yes. And sense meaning intuitive knowing. It's the perfect time to embrace the unexpected and harness the innovative energy they bring. Get ready for a month where transformation is the name of the game. So this is anything but, you know, normal, everyday normal. This is about over the hump, everything new emerges. And it's powerful. We've got the solar flares. We've got all of this, you know, the energies from April, the eclipses, and now, you know, the Kazemi of Uranus, the Kazemi of Jupiter. Mercury just today is moving into Taurus, so it's going to be grounded. It's going to be literal. How we communicate becomes more real, meaning we have a greater ability for it to land, to stick. There's substance to it. So the power of retrogrades, and then Pluto stationing retrograde in Aquarius. The beginnings of transformation. Starting May 2nd, and this is when, so it was on May 2nd, Pluto throws it into reverse and begins its retrograde journey through Aquarius, the sign of innovation and revolution. This shift is like hitting the pause button on our external lives to turn inward, sparking a period of deep self-reflection and transformation. Uniting inside and out. We got to unite the inside in order for it to mirror and match the outside, the external. It's all about the big stuff, technology, societal structures, and how we all fit into the bigger picture. As Pluto retrogrades in Aquarius, it's challenging us to really think about our roles in the world. What was I made for? Are we contributing to the change we hope to see? Are we engaging with our communities in meaningful ways? This is a time when the veil gets thinner and hidden truths come to light. We might find ourselves facing issues that demand not just any change, but a radical overhaul. Because it's not about the status quo. It's not about holding on to the past. It's about purifying, releasing, advancing, moving forward, and claiming the rewards of the present future, tomorrow. And here's a heads up. During this retrograde cycle, Pluto will briefly revisit Capricorn from September through November. We've talked about this, giving us one last shot to tie up loose ends from the past before it moves on. So this cosmic shaking of the tree, the cosmic cleansing and clearing up and finishing up that Pluto will do in Capricorn before it officially advances for the next 20 years into Aquarius. Pluto will not be back in Capricorn until 2272. Maybe we'll be alive. I'm not sure, but you know, we'll see what happens. So this period is crucial for making those big transformative decisions that will stick with us for a long time. Let's make it count and dive deep into what needs shifting in our lives and in our societies. So this is, again, do the right thing for the right reasons. The rest will come. This is a paradigm shift of placing soul source, soul in the driver's seat, ego, mind, personality in the sidecar, in alignment with it, in harmony with the soul, in service to the soul. New moon magic. We have the new moon in Taurus. It's all about grounding energy and new beginnings. So here comes surprises. The sun Uranus Kazemi in Taurus. Brace for cosmic curveballs. She said, circle May 13th on your calendars. That was Monday. Circle the May 13th on your calendars, folks. The sun is aligning with Uranus in Taurus. And this pairing is known for throwing us some curveballs. Expect the unexpected. That triple platinum yow. This isn't just about a little hiccup here and there. We're talking about the kind of surprises that could really make you rethink what you truly value. What was I made for? Who am I? It's no longer, the unseen is saying to us, it's the status quo is no longer okay. It's no longer an option. It's no longer viable. Why? Because the paradigm, the era that we have been in is over. It's complete. It's done. We're at the vestiges. We're at the final point where that the roots of that tree, and again, I think I've used this before, but the unseen shows me in one of the Harry Potter movies, they're in there and they pull out the little being out of the potted plant and they all start screeching and they have to have earmuffs on. And they, if somebody knows, Alicia may know this, put it in the comments for me. However, what they're doing, you know, and they repot them so that we grow bigger, so that we expand. And the whole purpose of those beings that are being transplanted is positive, meaning purposeful and helpful. It's medicinal. It's all of these things. Well, this is about what do we truly value? Are we contributing? Are our actions and our thoughts and our every word in alignment with this purity and truth of the world we want to live in? And yes, we hear that it's an old cliche, be the change you want to see in the world and so forth. However, yes, at this prime moment and primal, they're saying primal moment, be exactly that. Strive. Do not compromise. I believe it's Brené Brown, says, do not negotiate your character. You know, do not negotiate who you are. But do so, you know, when you're not negotiating that, make sure it's your soul character, your soul source connection, not your ego mind personality. They are drastically two different characters, and thereby alignment. They go on to say, this conjunction is a cosmic push towards innovation. It's like the universe is saying, hey, maybe there's a better way to do this. So, if you've been sticking to the old ways out of habit, now might be the perfect time to shake things up. So you get the theme here of these energies. They're saying, it's a perfect time to shake things up. Break out of your comfort zone and try something new. Embrace the changes. Sometimes the best opportunities come from the most unexpected places. It's about pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones. It's about facing ourselves. And yes, is there fear attached? Of course. However, fear is your friend. Fear is energy. Hope is energy. Love is energy. Everything is energy. So with fear, harness the energy of fear so that it propels you, it moves you forward, as opposed to immobilizing you, keeping you stuck in the past. Last but not least, a bright outlook, Sun conjunct Jupiter. So it's the Sun-Jupiter Kazemi. Growth and abundance awaits. Get ready to embrace a wave of positivity on May 18th. The Sun will be aligning with Jupiter in Taurus. And this celestial meetup is all about bringing more growth and abundance into our lives. Having crested the mountain, the climb, a new journey begins. Rewards. Growth and abundance into our lives. Think of it as a green light from the universe. And you'll see down here at number 5, and we've had it before from the unseen, where they said, go, go, go. Well, this is about, think of it as a green light from the universe, encouraging us to go after our dreams with confidence. This alignment could open doors to new opportunities that weren't on your radar before. So again, we never know. The unseen knows all, we know little. We only know what we know until we know. You only know what you know until you know. So stay in alignment, open yourself up. Purge, cleanse your vessel, keep aligning, keep taking all the steps necessary for this alignment and this proactive growth, this over the hump, everything new emerges moment. I'm just going to bring up the main theme image again, because this is the energy. This image encapsulates the energy of, and notice the arms are up and outstretched, open to receive. I am open, ready, and willing to reveal my spiritual fulfillment, was one of our mantras. And that's, and here's this, you know, it's like the Eastern Star and the Star of Bethlehem. It's like, it's from Source. And it's like, what's on the other side is unknown to us. We haven't experienced it yet. And so, again, do so with discernment, and yet joy, anticipation, and yet cautious advance. You'll see how it's, and yet the whole point of it is openness. Go, go, go. It's all about go. So now let's look, and I'm just going to give you one snippet. This is from Pam Youngin's North Point Journal, and she is quoting Heather Carlini from the Carlini Institute for Therapy, Research, and Transpersonal Education. Because she's explaining how photonic energy, the bright light seen at the time of a solar flare, and how it works with us, for us. And she's talking about how, because we're energy, everything's energy. So these solar flares hit Earth, and it's erupting. It's causing, it causes the aurora borealis, but it also can cause glitches with electronics and computers and ourselves, because we are an operating system. And she's talking about how it purges the lower frequencies, that lower frequencies are stored in ourselves, and how these cosmic flares, these solar flares, burn away. So think again, baptism by fire, think again, Phoenix rising, that these lower energies are being burned away so that the higher, our blueprint, our higher consciousness and the higher frequencies expand and grow. And that it takes time, but yet everything's rapid. So there's, you know, that our bodies in essence can work overtime to assimilate these energies. And what she was really getting to, and this is the part I wanted to share with everyone, is our bodies must work overtime to assimilate the energies received from solar flares and geomagnetic storms. And they require extra water for this process. So in other words, hydrate. Electrolyte fluids are especially important to help our cells, nerves, and muscles maintain functionality. So hydrate, stay fluid, and do so over the next, you know, do so regularly, but certainly while all of these solar flares are occurring. Also advised during solar maximum, and we're not quite sure if we're at solar maximum yet. It's a question mark. But she's talking about omega-3 oils to assist mitochondria, B vitamins to help the nervous system and brain function, Epsom salt baths for physical pain, and essential oils such as lavender to calm and uplift the mood. So these are helpful things that you can look at and utilize, incorporate into your daily regimen, certainly during this time. Because I'm going to go to the second thing, and this is very interesting. The Unseen said, and it's a movie from the 50s, 60s, but what they said to me was, some like it hot, 3 exclamation points. And so immediately I went to the movie, and yet it's not about that. What the Unseen is saying is, here we have these solar flares, we have all of this change, all of this innovation, all of this energy, and it's a lot. I mean, it's on steroids, so to speak. And so they're saying some like it hot. And that can mean lively and exciting. It also is in reference to the Roman deity Invictus, Invictus soul, the sun. And it means undefeated, unconquered. And so, again, bringing up the image, our main theme image, undefeated, unconquered, lively, exciting, some like it hot, that we are open to receive these divine blessings, this divine moment. I mean, all of our souls chose to be here at this moment, at this time, to experience this, to play a proactive role, to receive these rewards, this new journey. A new journey begins. And I just imagine in my mind's eye, standing on the peak again, as I've said, and wondering, what is it that you see on the other side? How energizing and thrilling and terrifying that is. And yet, yes, 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 go, go, go. So, and they brought this up, number three, the Unseen brought in, and they said, everything changes. It's a song by Kathy Tricoli, and I'm just going to share with you a snippet of the lyrics. And it says, well, you came in my life like a ray of light, solar flares, the eclipse energies, these cosmic energies, shining through the clouds in my heart. I just looked at you and the world was new. It was right, right from the start. Whoa-oh, you came to me. Whoa-oh, with a love so sweet. And I'll never, never, never be the same. Everything changes. Nothing looks the same through the eyes of love. Everything changes. When you love someone, everything changes. So here's the Unseen, here's Source, and how everything changes. And through the eyes of love, and this again can be in any of our relationships. So the Lady Jacqueline, bring it down, tangible. When you're in love, everything changes. Nothing's the same when you see things through the eyes of love. Well, this can be, you know, platonic. It can be romantic. It can be business. Because when we see things, when we see our world through the lens of love, or institutions, or companies, or different social groups and so forth, everything changes. Nothing looks the same through the eyes of love. And that was their point here. Because they're saying to it, over the hump, everything new emerges. A new journey begins, rewards, and everything changes. Because we're seeing it from a new perspective. We're seeing it through the lens, through the eyes of love. And we're in reciprocity. So never forget, you know, there's the unseen is saying to me, don't forget to see your soul from that same vantage point. How do you see your soul? Do you see it through the eyes of love? How are you interacting with your soul? Are you interacting with your soul? And of course, soul, source, the unseen, God, Allah, Buddha, higher power, however you wish to connect, the message is the same. Everything changes. The old is over. The new begins. So let's jump to the, we're going to look at a few of these Sabian symbols from these two charts, from the Sun Uranus occurs first chart, and then the Sun Jupiter Kazemi. And what we're looking at here is you will see that there are certain aspects. Let me just bring up the two charts. Here's the first one. And there we go. And so we're going to have some players that are, you see the moon is a common player. We see that the sun is a common player. Uranus and Jupiter, Pluto, Neptune. So let's stay focused with these planets, and we're going to look at the Sabian symbols of them. Because again, there's the moon at the top, there's Pluto down on the right, there's the sun. So we'll see how these planets are playing a common role in these two events, is basically the message. And so here's the sun Uranus. An Indian warrior riding fiercely, human scalps hanging from his belt. The aggressiveness of human instincts when fighting for their earthly base of operation. So again, bear in mind, endings and beginnings, the past and the future. In the mythology of early America, the Indian represents the savage, close to nature and led by primordial instincts. Alas, our present century has revealed that under far less imperative circumstances, so-called civilized man is capable of far more cruel tortures and extermination. This symbol appears to imply that violence and aggressiveness are basic components of human nature at the level of the emotions and of a deep-seated identification with particular culture which insists on regarding men of other cultures as potential enemies. Piscean era, patriarchal rule, this killer be killed mentality, this we prize war and the harm of others, the aggressiveness, the violence, over the peace, the receptiveness, the peace, the kindness. What is being confirmed here is the value of a group of men's differences from other groups. We are still in the period of differentiation, and the need for a differentiation of human behavior and collective values is still very strong. At the emotional level, man apparently still must believe in violence for survival. Now, what's interesting, this is where Uranus, the sun and Uranus, Kazemi, are conjunct. When the sun and Jupiter advance and they're conjunct, Venus moves into this same degree. She will join. So Venus conjoins Uranus at this same degree while the sun and Jupiter, Kazemi, occurs at an advanced degree. The point here is, this is what we're releasing. This is what's being burned away. Sun and Uranus being expect the unexpected, higher mind and everything. It's the releasing of this violence for survival, for this kill or be killed mentality, for I have to compete and take it from you. There's not enough, lack. Because otherwise, we would constantly be in harmony. We would be in balance and harmony. We would be authentic and humble. We would help one another. And thus, that is Aquarian divine feminine. Harmony, balance, unity. So we see very powerful symbol. Next we have Neptune. A majestic rock formation resembling a face is idealized by a boy who takes it as his ideal of greatness. And as he grows up, begins to look like it. So something written in stone, formed in stone, a face. It's a majestic rock formation resembling a face. The power of clearly visualized ideals to mold the life of the visualizer. Clearly visualized ideals. The ideal becomes the new reality. Nathaniel Hawthorne's story, The Great Stone Face, is used here in an allegorical sense to show the capacity for self-transformation latent in humankind. This power can be developed through visualization when the emotions and the will are poured into the visualized mental image. When we pour ourselves into, not our ego mind personalities, when our soul pours itself forward, brings itself forward, it's bringing forth something that's transformative and latent within us. At the highest spiritual cosmic level, this is the power used by the godlike beings at the close of a cosmic cycle in projecting the basic formula, the word, which will start a new universe. In a biological sense, it is the power latent in all seeds, the power to produce and guide the growth of the future plant. A most fitting symbol for the last phase of the cyclic process. Within the end of the cycle, the seed of a new beginning exists in potency, unless the entire cycle has proven to be a failure. This is so important. Within the end of the cycle, the seed of a new beginning exists in potency, unless the entire cycle has proven to be a failure. Look at the world stage. Are we choosing what the last symbol represents, which is violence for survival? Are we choosing kill or be killed? Are we choosing lack? Are we choosing alternate realities, lies, manipulation, oppression, suppression? Are we choosing the worst of the worst, the worst of the shadow? Or are we choosing to advance the new? And in order to choose the new, we have to choose it within ourselves first. We have to walk the talk. We have to align with our soul source connection, lead with our soul, and open ourselves to the rewards that are on the other side over the hump, having crested the mountain. Because if not, if we don't choose that, within the end of the cycle, the seed of a new beginning exists in potency, unless the entire cycle has proven to be a failure. So if we, 8 billion souls on the planet, don't choose, you know, what we choose, we experience, is the moral of the story. And so I'm certainly imploring all of you, and the unseen is imploring you. Choose, do the right thing for the right reasons, the rest will come. Choose the new. And the new is really the original. It's just how we fell from it. That is the point. It's not quote unquote new, it's the original. Love, it's the original. And yet, we've fallen so far from that original purity, from that original grace and truth, So latent in the seed of the ending is the beginning, unless the entire cycle was a failure, because then it just ceases to end. And the old is ending. So let us embrace and shift. Here's the moon revealing. And all of these, you can't make these up if you tried. They're all in alignment with each other. A daughter of the American Revolution, the prestige and conservatism of a long-maintained heritage. Here we have a symbol of the proud preservation of sociocultural values in a tradition. After several generations, the ancestor who was perhaps a violent revolutionist or rebel rouser, or even a fugitive from justice, acquires a halo of respectability. The tradition that once was born of revolution now extols law and order, attempting to suppress any new forms of the same revolutionary spirit. So it's overcoming. So we're looking to preserve and overcome this kind of original lawlessness. I mean, this just complete animalistic behavior. This is the last symbol of the section of the cycle, referring mainly to the consolidation and concretization of life urges within a stable form of organization. In many instances, the scenes presented picture social activities or events, yet at this stage, it is the individual person and the problems attendant upon their development that are primarily considered. This is a symbol that speaks to that ends with an example of what occurs when the individual chooses a path which totally embodies and glorifies tradition. It's a glorification of the past. Those cleaving to the past, they're glorifying this, you know, superiority by violence. They're glorifying the past. They think it's the end-all be-all. They think it's the best. They don't want it to leave. But imagine that that's what you're glorifying. You're glorifying oppression, suppression, division, hate, kill or be killed, survival by violence. That's what you're glorifying. And it's the moon. The symbol is for the moon. And the moon reveals, both reflects the light and reveals what's been hidden. And so this is a calling from the unseen for us to be aware of. Are we glorifying the past? Are we glorifying something that needs to be cleansed and purified and released? Because again, what's on the other side of the mountain? Yes, Olivia is saying it always has to be with greed. Enough is never enough. Exactly. And so are we glorifying that past? We have a choice. Saturn, the great teacher. A gigantic tent, villagers witness a spectacular performance. The collective appeal of a well-staged and exciting display of skill and or oratory. At first, Mark Jones, who worked with Elsie Wheeler on these Sabian symbols, interpreted the gigantic tent as the locale for a revivalist meeting. Later, he suggested a circus tent instead. Pardon me. In a sense, the basic meaning is the same whether it is the traditional performance of skilled clowns, acrobats, or animal trainers, or that of a religious fundamentalist dramatizing an old religious imagery. What takes place is the use of personal achievement and conviction to bring a crowd to a state of enthusiasm sufficient to make it forget its boredom with everyday routine or its familiar sins of commission or omission. So at this stage, the individual person and the collectivity are brought together in a significant performance which subtly strengthens the communal spirit directly or indirectly. Speaking to the soul, it's empowering the soul, not the ego mind personality, the soul. The implication of the symbol, whenever it is found operating, is that the time has come for the individual to dare to present themselves and their works to their community for applause or for the purpose of attracting a following. This is public self-dramatization. What this symbol is talking about, and it's Saturn, it's the great teacher, is that it's talking about coming forth in your pure, pardon me, in the purity of your soul, who you truly, what was I made for? And with that, inspiring others, not inspiring others to glorify the past. And it's not to throw the past, it's not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but it's to recognize, what do we as peoples and as individuals and businesses and institutions and governments and a species as a whole, what do we value? What do we revere? What is it that we, what is the world we wish to live in? And then this symbol, Saturn, the great teacher, it's how we bring forth who we truly are. No longer what we do for a living, or, you know, the story, the script, the label, the identity, the mask that we wear, because that's been fabricated, if you will. Who are we individually as souls, each individual soul? And to bring that aspect forward for public consumption. Because again, highly doubtful that the soul, even if the soul is working in the cloak of an opposite, it's going to do so from a sense of understanding and purity, not from a sense of, to Olivia's point, greed and oppression and suppression and so forth. It's going to understand why it's doing that. It fails to understand why it's doing it when it operates from its ego mind personality. That cuts the soul off. But when the soul leads, the soul can effectuate something from the cloak of an opposite, meaning it can harness a negative, if you will, using air quotes there, a negative. However, it does so with great care, responsibility, understanding. Maybe the unseen has given me, if anyone has ever fired someone, it's not a fun experience. And yet, there are those who fire people from a state of joy, from a state of power, authority, control. Or there, that same act of having to fire someone can be done from a state of understanding and empathy and compassion and willingness and desire for someone to better themselves. Like, this isn't working. This may not be for you. And so there are two different polarities in how one can fire another individual. One from, you know, just being an ogre, from a shadow aspect, and one from some, from a place of lifting another up. You still have to address the uncomfortable. It's just how you do it that matters. And this is Saturn, the great teacher. So now we move, Pluto is bridging the two, a deserter from the Navy. And we had this in one or two shows ago, the individual's self-realization through a crucial repudiation of a collective status, which has become unbearable. This symbol is all about, and here's Pluto, going back to clean up business before it officially goes forward. It's saying, again, to Olivia's point, enough is enough. At this stage, with the collective social value, something with the collective social value is being potentially destroyed. But nature is not the destroyer. Humankind, the individual, steps out of their bondage to collective patterns and ideals, and they finally find themselves by means of a sharp renunciation to what was, to what is. Meaning, they say no. They reject the old. And they say, we're moving, I'm aligning, I'm moving to the new. And this is what Pluto's doing. Pluto is saying, we're done with this. Pluto in Capricorn, we're done with this. We're now moving forward. Pluto in Aquarius, innovation, the revolution. Revolution meaning it can change, I mean, dramatic change in how we live, how we go about life. These are the symbols now for the Sun-Jupiter Kazemi on Saturday. The Sun and Jupiter, two cobblers working at a table. the twofold character of man's mature understanding. This is all about the mental process of understanding, and therefore of appreciation. It implies confrontation between two points of view: ego-mind personality, soul-source connection. Thus, the mind gains a sense of perspective. The way to dispel a shadow is to have the object illumined on its own two-dimensional level by two sources of light. I'm going to just interject here for a second. Number four from the unseen. So they're saying, the way to dispel a shadow is to have the object illumined on its own two-dimensional level by two sources of light. Number four, a burst of light, a burst of life. And they had this associated with the solar flares, and here comes the sun, S-U-N-S-O-N, and the sun Uranus Kazemi, and this whole burst of light, baptism by fire, phoenix rising, a burst of light, of life. And then they said, and we've had this, it's from Martin Luther King Jr., I Have a Dream. They said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Which denotes, again, the ending of an order, and the arrival of liberation, of deliverance, of the new. Devil to Lover's card in the tarot. Enslavement to liberation. Freedom. This Sabian symbol goes on to say, the two cobblers symbolize two contrasting ways of approaching the understanding of an experience. It's like I just shared with you about firing someone. There's two different spectrums. There's two ends to the pole. It's the same, or two sides to the same coin. It's the same coin. So approaching the understanding of an experience, especially a new experience, and they provide concrete forms which may clothe and protect the understanding. This symbol is all about symbolically the way in which a mature individual mind works to gain perspective. A true perspective becomes the foundation upon which to build a new approach to life. So this a burst of light and life, and the solar flares, and the Uranus activity, Kazemi, and the Jupiter Kazemi, and all of this cosmic activity allows us to have a new foundation. It allows us to build a new approach. And it's a new perspective. It's new life. The moon in the Jupiter, because there's two different degrees for the moon, one for the Uranus Kazemi and one for the Jupiter Kazemi. This is the Jupiter Kazemi for moon. A man revealing to his students the foundation of an inner knowledge upon which, quote, a new world could be built. The necessity for the youthful spirits to learn from a teacher who, through their long experience, has been able to reach solid and illuminating truths, meaning seed ideas. So this is about humanity, you know, for millennia, and how we've been building and building and building. We've been striving, we've been climbing to the peak of that mountain to reach our deliverance, our whole new world. And this is saying, an old saying is just as valid today as ever: when the pupil is ready, the master appears. But the master may appear in many disguises. What matters is not the master, but the mastery they reveal. So it's not about the master. And we talk about this all the time in Weekly Wisdom and Insights. It is not what we do. We are not what we do. We are the custodians of it. We are the custodians of our life experience. So to this Sabian symbol's point, it's not about the master. It's about the mastery they reveal, what comes through us. It is veiled in their person. It must be contacted through this person rather than in this person. See, it's what's coming through, contacted through the person. Not, oh, I am this, or I do this. This is me doing this. No, it's not. It's source working through you. soul working through you. Devotion to a guru may be the way, however, sooner or later, it should be transmuted into reverence, the truth within the disciple saluting in true humility the truth in the teacher. So however we get there, it's not to idealize others. It is to celebrate and have reverence for what moves through them. And should it be that they say, oh, this is me, this is I, don't walk, run. And the same is true for when any of us do that. We should always recognize that we are the custodians, we are the guest of this masterful tapestry and play and experience. And that alone engenders humility and grace, because we know there's enough. There's 8 billion souls on the planet. There's plenty that's coming through us. We don't have to celebrate the past in the sense of the negative, or embody it, or try to cling to it. What is evoked by this symbol is the essential, in addition to rather mysterious process of transmission. What is transmitted? If the situation is truly adequate and understood, at least tentatively, by all the participants, what is understood, even if only tentatively, is that it's not merely knowledge, it's actual, quote, beingness. So what this is talking about is, see, when we're being, it's coming through us. We're in the pocket. We're one with the moment. It's not outside of us. So thereby, it's not knowledge, and it's not I doing it. It's the information that's coming from source through us. And thereby, in that humility, we recognize divinity. We recognize greatness. It is, I don't care who it is on the planet. It does not matter if you're the wealthiest person on the globe. Yes, that individual showed up, and yes, that is what their soul is effectuating. However, it is not that individual doing it. It's source doing it through them, with them, for them, for a multitude of reasons. And when we recognize that as the forefront, as the truth, as the foundation, our world changes, because we're now not in conflict with anyone else, because we've come together on a divine basis and neutral, divine neutral basis to have these experiences. And we can do so, like the firing analogy, we can do so with humility and grace and care and empathy. It does not have to be kill or be killed. Last but not least, we have, just getting to it because there was a very long one there, I'm going to skip. It's the Lot of Fortune. Rock formations tower over a deep canyon, the structuring power of elemental forces during the long cycle of planetary evolution. Dwarfing the time allowed to individual human beings, the vast periods of geological evolution not only awe our imagination, but allow the slow yet magnificent work of elemental forces as they mold landscapes and canyons, rocks and mountains. This symbol points to our need to acquire a much vaster perspective on what we are capable of, and on our yearning for prolonged youth and our pride in masculine achievements. So this symbol is speaking to the fact that, you know, the works of nature should make us feel humble and help us to planetarize our consciousness. See, this is like the long game. And when you study, look back at history and look back at the king world, the kingless from Egypt, they ruled for thousands of years. So either those lists are wrong, or those human beings at that time and stage, that era, lived for thousands of years. The moral of the story of this symbol and of this whole episode is about the long game, stepping outside of this yearning for prolonged youth and pride in masculine achievements. That's tripping us up. That's getting us stuck. That is taking us off the way, the true path. Because the way, the true path, divine masculine, divine feminine, work in harmony with one another. They are equally revered. They are equally empowered and powerful. And when harnessed in the right way, in the right measure, greatness, longevity, the long view is present. It prevails. Close with these, our mantra, simplification. 10 fingers, 10 toes, 10 commandments. We have overburdened ourselves. And so our mantra is simplification. Again, image, holographic, if you will, outstretched human being, receiving illumination, receiving simplification. Doesn't have to be this hard. It does not have to be this hard. There is nothing that must be this hard. We choose it, and thereby we experience it so. Our first quote, the journey of 1,000 miles begins within. We are eternal. It's the beautiful spiral of the shell here. The journey of 1,000 miles begins within. It's an inside job. It will always be an inside job. And so in order to change the world we live in, the inside of us changes. We change the inside of us. Unity, uniting. Final quote is, what is vast resembles nothing, because if it resembled anything, it would become small. This is a quote from the master. And so where they're asking us to take the long view, the vast view. What is vast resembles nothing, because if it resembled anything, it would become small. And thereby it becomes finite instead of infinite. And last, but not least, we're going to close with this. This is our final message for this week's show. So over the hump, everything new emerges, and having crested the mountain, the climb, a new journey begins. There's rewards. We are undefeated, unconquered. Everything changes, a burst of light and life. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. And then last but not least, number 5, the unseen said, peak performance. Drivers, start your engines. And so this says, we will be operating, this number 5, it denotes change. We will be operating at peak performance. And it's from the Indy 500, it's gentlemen, start your engines. The unseen changed it and said, drivers. See, gentlemen, Piscean, patriarchal, gentlemen. Women drivers, Indy 500, okay, 1940s, 1950s, okay, got it, good, understood. But this is number 5, it's about change. We will operate at peak performance. Drivers, start your engines. And then they asterisked and said, with 3 exclamation points, go, go, go. So venture on, drive on. Align, open yourselves, keep doing the works, because we are over the hump and everything new emerges. Can't wait, you see my smile, can't wait to see you all and see what's happening in next week's show. Until then, be well and be kind, be good to yourselves and one another's.
You've been listening to Dear James Live. Gain intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions and so much more by tuning in next week and visiting DearJames.com.